ओम नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text Number 18. Yache visayim yokshan
Yache visayim yokshan
Manasa buddhi sarati
Manasa buddhi sarati
Manaha karma vi akshiptam Subhate Daryendya
Subhate Daryendya
Niyachet
Withdraw
Vishayibhyaha
From sense engagements
Aksham
The senses
Manasa
By dint of the mind
Buddhi
intelligence
Sarati
driver
Manaha
the mind
Karmavi
by the fruit of work
Akshittam
being absorbed in
Shubhate
for the sake of the Lord
Dariyat
hold up
Diya
in full consciousness.
Sometimes people say, all for God's sake. People say that. So we can say, Krishnarthi. Krishnarthi means for Krishna's sake. Translation. Gradually, as the mind becomes progressively spiritualized, withdrawn from sense activities, and by intelligence, the senses will be controlled. The mind, too absorbed in material activities, can be engaged in the service of the personality of Godhead and become fixed in full transcendental consciousness. Gradually, as the mind becomes progressively spiritualized,
withdraw it from sense activities,
and by intelligence the senses will be controlled.
The mind too absorbed in material activities
can be engaged in the service of the personality of Godhead.
And become fixed in full transcendental consciousness.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The first process of spiritualizing the mind by mechanical chanting of the pranava omkara and by control of the breathing system is technically called the mystic or yogic process of pranayama, or fully controlling the breathing air. The ultimate state of this pranayama system is to be fixed in trance, technically called samadhi. But experience has proven that even the samadhi stage also fails to control the materially absorbed mind. For example, the great mystic Vishvamrita Muni, even in the stage of samadhi, became a victim of the senses and cohabited with Menaka. History has already recorded this. The mind, although ceasing to think of sensual activities at present, remembers past sensual activities from the subconscious status and thus disturbs one from 100% engagement in self-realization.
Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami recommends the next step of a Shura policy, namely to fix one's mind in the service of the Personality of Godhead. Lord Sri Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, also recommends this direct process in the Bhagavad Gita 6.47. Thus, the mind being spiritually cleansed, one should at once engage himself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord by the different devotional activities of hearing, chanting, etc. If performed under proper guidance, that is the surest path of progress even for the disturbed mind. Can I get a bag of Gita? Thank you. Srila Prabhupada has quoted this verse, 6.47, so we'll just read that. Yoginam api sarve sammat gatinantaratmana saravan vajate yumam sameyutkatamoh mataha. And of all yogis, the one with great faith who abides in me, Krishna, thinks of me within himself and renders transcendental loving service to me. He is the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all, that is my opinion. The word bhajate is significant here. Bhajate has its root in the verb bhaj, which is used when there is need of service. The English word worship cannot be used in the same sense as bhaj. Worship means to adore or to show respect and honour to the worthy one. But service with love and faith is especially meant for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One can avoid worshipping a respectable man or a demigod and may be called discourteous, but one cannot avoid serving the Supreme Lord without being thoroughly condemned. Every living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And thus, every living entity is intended to serve the Supreme Lord by his own constitution. Failing to do this, he falls down. The Bhagavatam 11.5.3 confirms this as follows. Ya isham purusham shakshadharma prabhavam ishvaram na vijant yav jananti stanad brashtaha patanchidam. Anyone who does not render service and neglects his duty unto the primeval Lord, who is the source of all living entities, will certainly fall down from his constitutional position. In this verse, also the word bhajanti is used. Therefore, bhajanti is applicable to the Supreme Lord only, whereas the word worship can be applied to demigods or to any other common living entity. The word avajananti, used in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, is also found in the Bhagavad Gita, avajananti mambudha. Only the fools and rascals deride the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Such fools take it upon themselves to write commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita without an attitude of service to the Lord. Consequently, they cannot properly distinguish between the word bhajanti and the word worship. The culmination of all kinds of yoga practices lies in bhakti yoga. All other yogas are but means to come to the point of bhakti in bhakti yoga. Yoga actually means bhakti yoga. All other yogas are progressions toward the destination of bhakti yoga. From the beginning of karma yoga to the end of bhakti yoga is a long way to self-realization. Karma yoga without fruitful results is the beginning of this path. When karma yoga increases in knowledge and renunciation, the stage is called Jnana Yoga. When Jnana Yoga increases in meditation on the super soul by different physical processes and the mind is on him, it is called Astanga Yoga. And when one surpasses the Astanga Yoga and comes to the point of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, it is called Bhakti Yoga, the culmination. Factually, Bhakti Yoga is the ultimate goal, but to analyze Bhakti Yoga minutely, one has to understand these other yogas. The yogi who is progressive is therefore on the true path of eternal good fortune. One who sticks to a particular point and does not make further progress is called by that particular name, Karma Yogi, Jnana Yogi, or Jnana Yogi, Raja Yogi, Hatha Yogi, etc. If one is fortunate enough to come to the point of Bhakti Yoga, it is to be understood that he has surpassed all other yogas. Therefore, to become Krishna conscious is the highest stage of yoga. Just as when we speak of Himalayan, we refer to the world's highest mountains, of which the highest peak, Mount Everest, is considered to be the culmination. It is by great fortune that one comes to Krishna consciousness on the path of Bhakti Yoga to become well situated according to the Vedic direction. The ideal yogi concentrates his attention on Krishna, who is called Shyamasundara, who is as beautifully coloured as a cloud, whose lotus-like face is as effulgent as the sun, whose dress is brilliant with jewels and whose body is flower garlanded. Illuminating all sides is his gorgeous lustre, which is called the Brahma-jyoti. He incarnates in different forms such as Ramana, Sringha, Varaha and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he descends like a human being as the son of Mother Yashoda, and he is known as Krishna, Govinda and Vasudeva. He is the perfect child, husband, friend and master, and he is full with all opulences and transcendental qualities. If one remains fully conscious of these features of the Lord, he is called the highest yogi. This stage of highest perfection in yoga can be attained only by Bhakti Yoga, as confirmed in all Vedic literature. Yasya deve para bhakti yata deve tata guru tushayati kita yata pakashante mahatmanaha. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. From the Svetasvatara Upanishad 6.23. Bhaktir asya bhajanam thar iha mutropadi tarasyanam mukshmin manaha kalpanam vithar eva naishkarnam. Which means, bhakti means devotional service to the Lord which is free from desire for material profit either in this life or in the next. Devoid of such inclinations, one should fully absorb the mind in the Supreme. That is the purpose of Naishkamya. That's from the Gopala Tapani Upanishad. 115, so here, you know, verses from the Svetasvatara Upanishad and the Gopala Tapani Upanishad. You know, so sometimes people don't accept Srimad Bhagavatam, but even for those persons, the same truths are described about bhakti in the Upanishad, so they cannot reject that knowledge. That's why those quotes are there. These are some of the means for performance of bhakti or Krishna consciousness, the highest perfectional stage of the yoga system. A very nice verse, there's so much in there. So this verse here, or this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami is answering the question as to what one should do, what a dying person should do. And of course that applies to all of us. As Srila Prabhupada often says, that
if you had, if you've lived 40 or 50 years, that means, you know, basically you've died 40 or 50 years. It's, you know, that's a chunk that's gone, you know, like that. We tend to look at it in the positive, that we're moving forward, but it's actually everything is being minus reduced. You know? As of our lifespan, so much as of our life has been taken away is death. So, what should be done by a dying man? And in because Sukadeva Goswami understands that within his audience there are also many yogis, you know, with an impersonal understanding. For them, he is speaking these verses to satisfy their opinion and their understanding. Gradually, he will present his own opinion, which is, as we just read in the purport of this 647 of the Bhagavad Gita, where there are many different quotes from the Vedas, that actually the Vedas say that bhakti is the what should one do? One should engage in yoga. You know, one should fix the mind on the Supreme Lord in yoga. What is yoga? Actually, yoga means bhakti. This is the purport of the scripture. So, ultimately, in verse 39 of this verse, Sukadeva Goswami will give the full, proper conclusion, his conclusion, which is not different from Sri Vyasadeva's, who is the author of all the Vedas. But in order to come to that understanding, he has to present all the successive levels of understanding of yoga, which is exactly, you know, what Krishna does in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna could have just said to Arjuna, "You surrender unto me, engage in my service." In order to understand Bhakti Yoga, though, he describes all the different yogas like that. People, you know, ask the question, why is Krishna presenting information on Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Samkhya? Because that understanding is a successive step of understandings which culminates in Krishna consciousness. You know, which is a normal process if you go to any educational system and you want to understand, you know, anything, mathematics, there's a stage of successive understandings. It's not that when they get to, you know, primary school that they start teaching them, you know, algebra and what have you. They have to learn, you know, a successive level of instructions by which their understanding increases, and then, you know, they can get a full understanding at a later stage. So Sukadeva Goswami is speaking in these terms, and he begins from verse 15, and then in verses 16 and 17, you know, he's mentioned the yoga system, and you know, which tends to still have an impersonal, tinge. Those who follow it, you know, are still tinged by the impersonalism. In verses 16 and 17, he's mentioned the processes of yama and niyama, asana and pratyahara, the first four steps of the Ashtanga Yoga process. And it's the do's, the don't, the rules and regulations, the sitting postures and the breathing methods. And those breathing processes are accompanied by meditation upon the Om, which is the impersonal representation of the Supreme Lord. So in this verse here, he's mentioning the fifth and sixth steps, and gradually he will mention the seventh and eighth. So pratyahara and dhavana. Pratyahara is
withdrawing the senses from the sense objects. This is part of the Astanga Eightfold Yoga process, where you know the eyes are removed. You know, they're not removed; they're restrained from seeing. You know, beautiful forms which may agitate the mind and make it difficult to meditate upon the sound of Om or the form of the Lord. So all the different senses, you know, therefore yogis quite often, you know, actually in order to practice yoga, one has to go to a very secluded place where there are no distractions, no sounds, no, you know, like that. Otherwise it's not possible. You know. So then dharana, which is also mentioned in this verse, that you know, one then, with one's intelligence, one fixes the mind upon the Supreme Lord. So there are, you know, rules and regulations, sitting postures, breathing exercises, and meditating upon the sound vibration of Om, and withdrawing the senses, and then gradually coming to the point of concentrating with intelligence upon the Lord. Now that dharana is distinguished from the next stage of jhana, which is meditation, in that the meditation on the Lord in dharana is more general. You know, so you'll see in the next verses, he discusses the process of jhana, which leads to samadhi, that jhana is a more concentrated method of meditating upon the Lord, and therefore one worships, one meditates upon, you know, each of the limbs successively and the Lord as a whole, like that. So that, you know, there is a different, it is a more concentrated, and in order to make the mind very, very steady in the dharana stage, you know, it is a more general meditation, and at the same time, you know, it is understood that there are, you know, more distractions that are still affecting the mind of the yogi. Ultimately, one will come to samadhi, where it is uninterrupted meditation upon the Lord, and there is no contact of the senses with their objects, and in fact, the when it is done, that samadhi is done fully and completely, the material body is actually, the material mind is actually extinguished, removed, that the material covering the subtle body. So, one attains liberation. So, now, here, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport that the difficulty with all of this is that he says the ultimate state of this pranayama system is to be fixed in trance, technically called samadhi, but experience has proven that even the samadhi stage also fails to control the materially absorbed mind. So even at the dharana stage, even that stage before, you know, jhana and samadhi, that is also very difficult, even coming to that point. Therefore, you know, Sukadeva Goswami understands that from this verse he's going to describe the process of concentrating the mind upon various limbs of the Lord. But he understands that, you know, many of the yogis, and of course people who will follow them in the future, they'll not even be able to do that, because there's an impersonal understanding, you know, there's an impersonal conception, and therefore if you tell them to meditate upon the personal form of the Lord, they'll think that, well, this is some material thing. You know, they... they can't understand actually the nature of the Vishnu form, the Vishnumurti, or the super soul within the heart, that the super soul is actually the Supreme Lord who has a transcendental form. So, therefore, Sukadeva Goswami, knowing that even that stage will be difficult, he will describe a preliminary process which helps them even to attain that platform. So, in this chapter, he will also describe meditating upon the Virat Rupa form of the Lord. So, meditation, for those who find it difficult to understand the transcendental nature of the super soul, that Virat Rupa form is a, it is a form of the Lord, but it is more there for those with an impersonal understanding. Those who can't conceive the Lord having this personal form sitting within the heart, for them, yes, God is, you know, manifest in His vast manifestations. The whole universe, you know, is a manifestation of God. He is this vast energy which is manifested as the material universe, which is ultimately resting upon the Brahman, which is another vast energy, but a spiritual energy. So they meditate upon, you know, the higher planetary systems as the upper part of the universal form, and the middle planetary systems as the middle portion of the universal form, and the lower planetary systems as the lower portion of the world. So this process gradually purifies them, though. You know, we will see gradually, as they meditate upon the universal form, it becomes clear to them that there is a distinction between us, the tiny spirit soul, who are many, and the one supreme super soul who is maintaining the universal form, the universe. Gradually the understanding comes that just as a soul is maintaining our material body, a supreme soul is maintaining the universal form. Gradually the distinction comes, and by that the process of purification and distinction, a little bit of faith in the meditating upon the Vishnu form within the heart is more possible, and therefore one can practice the Astanga Yoga process of meditating upon the various limbs of the Lord with faith, and gradually that will bring one to samadhi. So but here Srila Prabhupada gives Sukadeva Goswami is hinting at his ultimate conclusion in this verse also, and Srila Prabhupada makes in his translation, he makes sure it's very clearly understood that the mind, too, absorbed in material activities, can be engaged in the service of the personality of Godhead and become fixed in full transcendental consciousness. As Srila Prabhupada points out, this more superior process, because even after going through all the subordinate processes, if the yogis try to take up Astanga Yoga, and if there's some difficulty in meditating upon the form of the Lord within the heart, they take up the process of meditating upon the universal form, and gradually they become purified and realize the nature of the super soul, and then begin to meditate upon the super soul and gradually attain samadhi. Even after all that, which may take many, many, many lifetimes, still the chance is that there will be failure. Because, you know, the verses mention, like this very nice verse from the 11th canto, the Srimad Bhagavatam, quoted in this purport from 647, that Anyone who does not render service and neglects his duty unto the primeval Lord, who is the source of all living entities, will certainly fall down from his constitutional position until the living entity comes to that point of again serving the Lord, which is his eternal constitutional position. He can fall from his platform of Brahman because there are no spiritual activities, there is no transcendental activities for the transcendental senses of the spirit soul, and therefore one will, fall down and be attracted to activities on the material platform. So this is the difficulty. And but this gradual process, at least in the long term, over many, many, many lifetimes, it brings one gradually to understand the nature of the super soul within the heart, and gradually one may also understand that that super soul is an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, Lord Sri Krishna. But Prabhupada says that if you just take to the activities of bhakti in the very beginning, then that understanding, which takes many, many millions of lifetimes, is achieved immediately. So, you know, from the very beginning, there's a very long process going to be mentioned here in the Bhagavatam, but from the very beginning, Prabhupada's very good in the way he writes his books, because he doesn't wait till you get to the very end, you know, and then you have to, something important, you have to realize that there's something very important. He'll tell you from the very beginning, and then as you're going through, same with the Bhagavad Gita, he says from the very beginning, if you even, if you accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the very beginning of your study of the Bhagavad Gita, you're a liberated person. You know, don't wait to get to the end, you know, and then gradually become, get that realization. He'll tell you from the very beginning. So here he's doing the same. How is that? And that is because, actually, when we serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in devotional service, the super soul sitting within our heart, we establish our connection with him. And so we can understand him. We can communicate with him. Now, Prabhupada gives a really wonderful analogy to explain this process that everyone can relate to. He says that, if everyone has a television, so say you want to hear the news. You want to hear the news, you want to, you know, hear the documentaries, you want to understand so much information coming. So the television is there. Actually, the information is there. You know, that information of the news is probably running past us right now. But we can't grab it like that. But it's there, right in the room, you know. But we can't see it, we can't touch it, we can't tune in with that. But then you get the television. But still, if you get the television, not enough. You have to push the button, Prabhupada says. Prabhupada says it's bhakti yoga, that is the button. You'll connect, well, actually yoga is the connection. You press the button, yoga is that connection. But, you know, if the connection is there, you still have to tune it in. And, of course, those who are very, very expert, they can tune in that television till you get this crystal clear reception. Everything properly focused. Bhakti yoga is that sort of tuning. So from the very beginning, it is a very strong, powerful, clear, focused connection with the super soul, more so than any other yoga process. And that is described in this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, that of all yogis, one with great faith, who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself, and renders transcendental loving service unto me, he is most intimately united with me in yoga. In other words, he has the best connection He has the best, his tuning is the best, as we're saying, and is the highest of all. Naturally, one who has the most clear, strong connection with the Supreme Lord who resides within the heart, that person has access to full knowledge. So therefore, his realization will be the highest. That person will understand the super soul, that we are, you know, different from the super soul. We are not, the super soul. We are different. That person can understand that, the super soul is an expansion of the Supreme Lord who resides in the spiritual world, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. That person will understand how to take shelter of, as Prabhupada says here, proper guidance for progress on the path of bhakti yoga. Everything will be there for that person. So, therefore, from the very beginning, we understand that the best process is to always engage in bhakti yoga. And bhakti yoga means, as Prabhupada says, always trying to hear about the Lord. If one tries to hear about the Lord, as described in the second chapter of this first canto, the Lord within, he cleanses all the material contamination. He fine-tunes our heart. The contamination within our heart is like, static. You turn the television on, there's a lot of static. There's a lot of other things that shouldn't be there. There's a buzzing noise and some fuzzy things, they're the modes of material nature. And when you try to please the Lord by chanting and hearing, he removes that static, those modes, the influence of the modes, and then that message, comes through very, very clearly. So that is the process of the devotees. They try to hear about the Lord, they try to, every day to read something from the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, to chant the holy names of the Lord, to render some service with the various senses of one's body, and at the same time to think of the Supreme Lord with devotion, and by that process everything becomes perfect. So I'll leave that there if anyone has any questions or comments.
This philosophy of Krishna consciousness, or like the instructions of Vedic scriptures, it includes this process of mind control by this Ashtanga Yoga, meditation practice. But in the nutshell, Krishna is recommending to directly serve him and surrender to him. So basically my question is that why the whole thing is twisted and turned around to basically it to confuse people? Why not just directly it's mentioned that just surrender Krishna as person and you just think about
it? Yeah, well, people have a tendency they want to be cheated. They want to be cheated because the whole Vedic process is to help us to revive our position that we are the eternal servant of the servant of the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But we don't want that. What we want is we actually want to be God. So therefore we want to be cheated, that's our mentality. We want to be Krishna. We want to be, the most beautiful, the most famous, the most powerful. Therefore, people want to be cheated. Desire something which will allow them to remain in that cheated position. To the degree that one stubbornly, refuses to just accept that position that I am the servant of the Supreme Lord, and maintains an impersonalism, you know, towards God, an inclination not to serve and not to surrender. Those other processes are there to the degree that that inclination is there. So what it does is it satisfies their inclination, because the Lord doesn't interfere with their free will, and at the same time it purifies them, pushing them forward. So the whole Vedic literatures are meant like that from the very beginning. Therefore, you know, generally it's recommended that one should not commit violence, because, you know, to other living entities, therefore vegetarianism is a better way of life, in the sense that, you know, one does not accrue karma. But there are people who insist that they want to eat meat because they get the nice taste of it, what they think is nice. So therefore the Vedas know that if you know, the scriptures just says you cannot eat meat, they're just going to eat it and reject the Vedas. So the Vedas say, well, you know, if they reject it, all instruction outright, there's no hope for them. So therefore, they say, okay, you can eat meat, but you have to worship Kali, and there's some restrictions like this. So the Vedas keep them under the shelter of the Vedas, basically under the instruction of the Supreme Lord. And gradually, but that process purifies them, so they come forward a little bit more. You know. So it's like that with children also, you know. If you say, that, you know, I've seen children, I saw one the other day as well, that sometimes the parents say to them, no! This, and one of my daughters used to this. Therefore, anytime someone, the word no came up in the conversation under any context, my daughter would cry. So someone would say, oh, I don't know what that is. Oh! You know, like someone said no, and you know, what's that? I don't know. Oh! You know, and they're crying. And I've seen other children like that as well. So you can't use that word. You can't say no. So you have to, you know. So, you know, the Vedas are very careful of just saying no. No means, oh, you know, they freak out. So, you know, it's like that. We have, but that concession is there all the way up through the highest levels of yoga as well. You still can't say no to the yogis, you know. You're not God. Okay, we'll leave that for now, that whether you're God or not, just meditate upon the universal form for a while, just see the distinct pattern. Gradually purifications. Yeah, so if you say to them again, better you don't hear about, no, don't hear about all those other things that's disturbing your mind. You should hear about Krishna. No, like that. But the other thing is that you just keep talking about Krishna, and they just join in. And you haven't. And then it purifies them anyway. So our process is like that. We just engage people in devotional service with that, and avoid too much. No, you can't do this. Can't do that. We just keep engaging. We go on the street, we chant Hare Krishna. We distribute books, we give them prasadam. We open the temples, we have festivals. It's all yes, 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 yes. And they just join in.
And they, you know, it purifies them. And because they do service the super soul, the Lord within the heart, will actually give them, you know, realizations very, very quickly. And you see that. You know, this, therefore, Krishna consciousness, you know, if you look at the realizations of the devotees or the congregation in the temples all over the world, you will see that their realizations are very, very, you know, elevated, very, very strong, you know, even compared to many yogis and you know, pundits and philosophers and what have you. And, you know, they're not scholars, they're not PhDs, they're just people who come and eat prasadam and chant Hare Krishna. Yeah. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm.